Here's Paul McCartney.
Because then what happened was, Klein, I felt he really had to be got rid of, because I could see he wasn't doing us any good. I mean, I think it's been proved now, you know, this guy's been in jail for tax evasion and fraud and selling not-for-sale records. I mean, he peeled all the stickers off, you know, I mean, did you believe that? But, and he got $5 million off us the first year he managed us, and he wanted more, and so it was all very crazy, and I was trying to just fight for us, the group. I was saying, don't give him 20%, give him 15. You know, we're a massive group. Come on. And they were saying, oh, cool, you've got to give him 20. What do you mean? There's a deal, you know. I was trying to fight. So there was an awful lot of funniness going on there and stuff, and it was very tough just to keep your head above water, honest. I mean, one of these days, if the story ever gets told about some of the insanities, I mean, you've seen that apple to the core. That's nothing compared to what really went down. I mean, it was incredible business stuff on the backs of menus, and all sorts of deals were done.
I'm in mine. George Harrison.
But it's more of a personal thing, you know, that's down to the management situation, you know, with Apple, because Paul really, it was his idea to do Apple, and once it started going, you know, Paul was very active in there, and then it got really chaotic, and we had to do something about it. When we started doing something about it, obviously, Paul didn't have as much say in the matter, and then he decided, you know, because he wanted Lee Eastman, you know, his in-laws, to run it, and we didn't, then that's the only reason, you know, that's the whole basis. But that's only a personal problem that he'll have to get over, because that's the reality, is that, you know, he's outvoted, and, you know, we're a partnership. We got these companies which we all own 25% of each, and if there's a decision to be made, then, like in any other business or group, you have a vote, you know, and he was outvoted 3-1, and if he doesn't like it, it's really a pity, you know, because we're trying to do what's best for the Beatles as a group, or best for Apple as a company.
Ballad of John and Yoko, released in Britain on May 30th and credited to the Beatles, but in fact it was only John and Paul. On May 26th, John and Yoko had begun their second bed-in at the Queen Elizabeth Hotel in Montreal, and on June 1st, from their bed with a room full of people, they recorded Give Peace a Chance. Give Peace a Chance, released in the UK July 4th and on July 7th in the US. The Let It Be album and film project had been shelved by this time, and July and August 1969 was spent at the Abbey Road Studios recording a new album. On August 31st, John, George and Ringo travelled to the Isle of Wight Festival to see Bob Dylan. On September 13th, with less than 24 hours' notice, John and Yoko, with Eric Clapton, Klaus Voormann and Alan White, flew to Toronto to appear in a rock and roll revival concert at Varsity Stadium. They rehearsed on the plane. On the 25th, John and Paul finally lost control of Northern Songs. And the following day, the new album was released in Britain. Abbey Road coming next.
I don't remember it, you know, because Abbey Road, for me, as always with all the albums, I like some of the tracks and I don't like others of the tracks. And it's always been the same. I've never been a knocked out Beatle fan by any of our albums. You know, I like some of the work we do and some of it I don't.
What inspired something, for example?
Maybe Patty, probably.
Really?
I think I wrote it at the time when we were making the last double album. And it's just the first line, something in the way she moved, which has been in millions of songs. It's not a special thing, but it just seemed quite apt. But John gave me a handy tip once, which is once you start to write a song, try and finish it straight away while you're in the mood. And I've learned from experience, yeah, because you go back to it and then you're in a whole different state of mind and it's more difficult. Sometimes it's easier, but on the whole it's more difficult to come back to something. So I do now try and finish them straight away.
This is the first time that one of your songs has been released as a Beatles single.
As an A-side, yeah.
As an A-side.
They blessed me with a couple of B-sides in the past, but this is the first time I've had an A-side. deal, eh?
8-track to 8-track, something, take 37.
Attracts me like no other lover. Something in the way she woos me. I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how. Somewhere in the smile she knows I don't need no other lover. Something in her style that shows me that I don't want to leave her now. You know I believe in how.
Sun was the same period. We had meetings and meetings and all this, you know, bankers and, you know, lawyers and all sorts of things and contracts and shirts, and it was really awful because it's not the sort of thing we enjoy. And one day I didn't come into the office. I just sort of, it was like sagging off school. And I went to a friend's house in the country, and it was just sunny, and it was all just the release of the tension that had been building up on me. And it was just really nice sunny day, and I picked up the guitar, which was the first time I'd played the guitar for a couple of weeks because I'd been so busy. And the first thing that came out was that song. It just came, and I finished it later when I was on holiday in Sardinia.
Here comes the sun, here comes the sun, I say it's all right. All right.
Abbey Road for me wasn't that tense because I was getting into a lot of musical ideas and kind of the medley thing on the second side. I was very up on doing that and very sort of excited about doing that stuff. And most of the stuff, I can't remember it being quite as tense. I think White Album was like the weirdest period because we were about to break up, you know, and that was just tense in itself.
One of my favourite records. In fact, I would have made Abbey Road rather like the second side all the way through. What I was trying to do with Paul there was try and make him think in symphonic terms. And we almost achieved it with One Way. But, you know, other people don't like it.
Beginning of November, the Abbey Road album was number one in America, and by the end of the month, so was the single Something. December the 1st, the 77th and final edition of the Beatles' monthly book was published. George Harrison went on tour with Delaney and Bonnie, the Plastic Ono supergroup, John and Yoko, George Harrison, Eric Clapton, Keith Moon, Billy Preston and others played a Peace for Christmas charity concert in London, and War Is Over If You Want It billboards appeared in 11 major cities around the world, and a new Beatles song appeared on a charity album at Christmas, Across the Universe.
Words are flowing out like endless rain into a paper cup. They slither wildly as they slip away across the universe. Pools of sorrow, waves of joy are drifting through my opened mind, possessing and caressing me. Across the universe, hold me under like a restless wind inside a letterbox. They tumble blindly as they make their way across the universe. Around me like a million suns, and calls me on and on across the universe.
Lads, have you just shouted Happy Christmas for us into this tape? Hey?
Happy Christmas?
Yeah. Well, one, two, three.
Happy Christmas.
Thank you, same to you. Happy Christmas.
Garden with your wife Yoko, but do you have any special thoughts for Christmas?
Well, Yoko, it is Christmas, and my special thoughts, of course, tend towards eating.
All right, so eating. Well, what do you like to eat?
Well, I'd like some cornflakes prepared by Parisian hands, and I'd like it blessed by Hare Krishna mantra.
Have a wonderful Christmas.
Have a jolly new year.
Make sure that Christmas
comes once a year.
Yes, Happy New Year.
All the best.
This is George Harrison saying Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas. 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 Happy. Happy.
Oh, good evening to you, gentlemen. Good evening to you, gentlemen. Happy to be here. Good evening to you, gentlemen. I fear. Good evening to one and all. I hope you will enjoy the coming sports day of our life is Mama's little boy.
So, how do you like the garden here?
I think it's simply splendid. I'm overwhelmed by its sanctuary.
So, you don't mind this... high gates and things, I mean the wall, the surrounding.
Oh, I always loved the high walls. The Elizabethan high wall is something I've always loved. You see?
Yes.
Lady.
wish you just a merry year. I say to wish you just a happy, happy new year. This is to wish you a merry, 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 merry new year.
I'd like to say that I hope everybody listening to this has a very happy time at Christmas and has a good, fortunate, lucky new year, and a good time to be had by all. Merry Christmas.
'70s to come. We've had the swinging '60s, and I was wondering, Mrs. Lennon, how you saw your place in the '70s.
I think it'll be a quiet, peaceful '70s, hopefully, you know.
You think there's going to be peace, do you?
Yes, and freedom.
I see.
Freedom of mind and everything.
I see. Really nice.
Everybody will just be flying around, you know.
Everybody will just be flying around, you see. You understand that?
The air is so crisp and all that. It's just something
deep
about it.
Deep and crisp
delicate.
And even.
And it's
brightly
sort of,
shone the moon last night.
Like
the prosperous
a strange magic, you know, just slowing down the process of our thinking.
Has been
of
you.
It's beautiful.
Well. Good King Wenceslas last looked out on the feast of
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
New Year.
Take two.
Happy, happy, happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. Happy Christmas.
John.
You're cold.
John.
Happy Christmas.
It's warm. Let's put the light on the trees.
All right, dear. You pass me the light and I'll stick it on the tree.
Merry Christmas, 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 Magic Christian, Magic Christian, Magic Christian, Magic Christian. It's just a plug for the film, Ken. Try and keep it on. This is Ringo saying a Merry Christmas to everybody and a very Happy New Year.
I'd like a big teddy.
I'll get you a twinkling teddy then.
Oh, thank you, Mommy.
Yeah, good boy, John.
Oh, yes, Mommy, I will, as long as you get me a... a teddy bear.
A twinkling teddy bear.
And a train set.
A melting train set, then.
And a man on the moon that goes on the moon and down to the moon.
An ice cream moon,
then. That's right. And lots 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 and lots.
Oh,
to bring on somebody for you. Want to tell you that, ask you to help me make this introduction. I'd like to say a name, and I'd like you to repeat the name. And then when we get through, we'll all add it up, and it ought to have some fun for you. Are you ready? Let me say it first. You repeat it after me. John.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, a history of the Beatle years, 1962 to 1970. I'm Roger Scott in London. It's 1970.
It's the end of the Beatles, like maybe how people imagine the Beatles. The Beatles have never really been what people thought they were anyway. So in a way, it's the end of the Beatles like that, but it's not really the end of the Beatles. The Beatles, you know, are going to go on till they die, you know.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Once there was a way to get back homeward, once there was a way get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, and I will sing a lullaby. Sing a lullaby. Once there was a way to get back homeward, once there was a way to get back home. Sleep pretty darling, do not cry, I will sing a lullaby.
I don't know, you know, I've never known. I didn't know that when we were playing at the Cavern that we'd be on the Royal Variety performance. And after that, all the papers said, well, what's left for them? So then we went to America. I said, what's left for them then? You know, and we got into making better albums and stuff. I mean, I just don't know what's going to happen. It'll be all right, though.
I never give you my pillow. I only send you my invitation.
On January the 15th, 1970, an exhibition of 14 John Lennon lithographs opened at the London Arts Gallery. And the following day, detectives from Scotland Yard raided the exhibition and seized 8 of the lithographs on the grounds that they were indecent and obscene. On the 20th in Denmark, John and Yoko had their hair cut very short. And on the 27th, John wrote, recorded and mixed his new single all in one day. It was produced by Phil Spector. The record was released just 10 days later.
I want records to be like newspapers, you know. I'd like it to come out at least once a week or twice a week or something like that. And with this song, we wrote it in the morning, recorded it and remixed it and got it out in a week here on the stage, which is pretty fast moving. I want it to be like that, you know. I want to be able to put it out as it happens, you know. I write songs about what's happening to me that moment, and I want it to be out that moment, and I don't care what name goes on it, you know.
Instant Karma, John Lennon and the Plastic Ono Band. It was released in the US February 20th. On the 26th, the Beatles' compilation album, Hey Jude, was released in America. And the last British Beatles single release came out on March the 6th. And that's coming next.
Are you, in fact, going your own way with Yoko these days? Because that is the impression one has.
Well, each Beatle's going, doing his own thing at the moment, you know, and it's like, it could be a rebirth or a death, you know, and we'll see what it is, you know, but it'd probably be a rebirth, you know, for all of us.
When do you, in fact, plan to record with the Beatles again?
At the moment, there is no plan whatsoever, you know, and we have this film and album in the can, and until that's sorted out, there won't be anything, any plans, you know. And I plan to make an album with Yoko, with Phil Spector, in about 2 weeks, you know, so that's my plan. I heard Paul was planning to do an LP too, you know.
On March the 27th, Ringo released his first solo LP, Sentimental Journey.
Gonna take a sentimental journey. Gonna set my heart at ease.
Part of it was trying to keep it to songs that all mean something to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say, I'm going to do this, and you get people saying, why don't you do Button Up Your Overcoat? Why don't you do...
Yeah.
And I'm saying, yes, a lovely song, but for me personally, it has no, you know, it's no memory lane for me. And so we couldn't do all them.
George Harrison.
Ringo's completed a great album. I think it's called Sentimental Journey, it's called. And it's all the songs that Elsie and Harry and his uncle and aunties, that's his father and mother, they used to all sing and have parties all the time. So he sings all these old songs with the sort of old arrangements. He doesn't do the sort of modern arrangement. And it's really a nice album. Then John's doing an album, a Plastic Ono album. I think he's going to do that with Phil Spector. And I think Paul's doing an album which is, I should imagine, like, if you remember Eddie Cochran did a couple of tracks, like Come On Everybody, where he played bass, drums, guitar and sang. So Paul's doing this sort of thing where he's going to play all the instruments himself, which is nice, because he couldn't possibly do that in the Beatles. You know, if it was a Beatle album, automatically Paul gets stuck on bass, Ringo gets on drum. So in a way, it's a great relief for us all to be able to work separately at the same time. And so maybe if I get a chance, I'd like to do an album as well, just to get rid of a lot of songs. So maybe I'll
just
do
a George album.
A George album. And so I'll try and get that together sometime during this summer. And I expect by that time we should be ready to do a new Beatle album.
On April the 10th, 1970, Paul McCartney officially resigned from the Beatles.
What actually happened was, the group was getting very tense. It was looking like we were breaking up. One day I came in, we had a meeting, it was all Apple and business and Alan Klein, and it was getting very hairy and no one was really enjoying themselves. It was, we'd forgotten the music bit, it was just business. And I came in one day and I said, I think we should get back on the road, a bit like what you and I were talking about before. Small band, go and do the clubs, sod it, let's get back to square one, let's remember what we're all about, let's get back. And John's actual words are, I think you're daft. And I wasn't going to tell you, but we're breaking the group up. I'm breaking the group up. He said, it feels good, it feels like a divorce. And he just sat there and our jaws dropped. And that was it, really. And nobody quite knew what to say. And we sort of then, after that statement, we then thought, well, give it a couple of months. We may decide. I mean, it's a little bit of a big act to just break up like that. You know, we'll just give it a couple of months. It might just all come back together. And we talked for a couple of months. But it just was never going to be on, you know. I think, largely looking back on it, I think it was mainly John needed the new direction that he then went into headlong, you know, helter-skelter. He went right in there, you know, and did just all sorts of stuff he'd never done before with Yoko. And you can't blame him, you know, because he was that kind of guy. He really wanted to live life and do stuff, you know. He just was no holding back with John. And it was what we all admired him for. So you couldn't really say, oh, we don't want you to do that, John, you know, why don't you stay with us? You felt so wimpy, you know. So it had to happen like that. But actually, when you say I let it out, it was actually months after we'd broken up and no one was saying anything. And I was putting out a crazy little release, press release with the McCartney album, because someone had said to me, we need some press on this, you'd better do something. And I didn't want to sit down and be interviewed. I didn't feel secure enough to do that, you know. So I said, well, we'll make up a kind of question and answer thing. So I said to, actually it was Peter Brown, your friend and mine, I said to him, write me out a questionnaire of what you think they'd ask me. And they said, he wrote it all out. So I just filled it all in like a questionnaire. And it all came out weird. The press got it. It looked like I was trying to do a real number. John then thought, aha, you know, he's done the announcement of the Beatles split. But I mean, I thought, you know, months after, someone had better do it. Because actual fact, what we were doing was signing contracts that were saying the Beatles were still going. In fact, that was one of the terrible things about when we broke up, was John was saying, I wasn't going to tell you till we'd done this contract. And there were all sorts of weird little things like that, which Klein was getting him into. So it was all very, very crazy. And I say, you know, we actually, I became known as the one who split the Beatles up.
Baby, I'm amazed the way you love me all the time. And maybe I'm afraid of the way I love you. Amazed at the way I breathe.
Baby I'm Amazed, from McCartney, Paul's first solo album, released in Britain April 17th and in the US on April 20th. On the 27th, John Lithograph's court case was dismissed and the exhibits returned, and at the end of April, John and Yoko flew to Los Angeles to undergo 4 months of primal therapy. The long-delayed Let It Be album and film finally came out in May, and that's next.
I've got a feeling deep inside, oh yeah.
As far as the Beatles go, we've got the Let It Be album. It's been held up really because we're trying to put the film out in about 40 different cities throughout the world all at once, rather than sort of put on a premiere in New York and then let the critics say, oh, well, we think it's this and we think it's that.
Well, what's the Beatle film going to be?
The Beatle film is just pure documentary of us slogging and working.
Let It Be?
Yeah, on the album. And the hold-up of the album is because we want this film to go out simultaneously. Originally, we were rehearsing. We were rehearsing the songs that we were planning to do in some big TV spectacular or something. We had a vague idea of doing a TV show, but we really didn't know the formula of how to do it, because we didn't really want to do... Obviously, we didn't want to do a magical mystery tour, having already been on that trip. And we didn't want to do sort of the Tom Jones spectacular. And we're always trying to be to do something slightly different. And we were down in Apple rehearsing, and we decided to film it on 16mm to maybe use as a documentary. And the record happened to be the rehearsal of the record, and the film happened to be, rather than a TV show, it happened to be the film of us making the record. So it's very rough in a way. You know, it's nice because, again, you can see our warts. You can hear us talking, you can hear us playing out of tune, and you can hear us coughing and all.
Because you're sweet and lovely, girl, I love you. Because you're sweet and lovely, girl, it's true. I love you more than ever, girl, I do. I want you in the morning, girl, I love you. I want you at the moment I feel blue.
People may be put off at first hearing it sounds maybe my attitude when we decided to use it as an album was that people may think we're not trying, you know, because it's really like a demo record.
But on the other hand, it's worth so much more than those other records because you can actually get to know us a bit more. You know, it's a bit more human than the average studio recording. I'd certainly, you know, don't want to see the end of the Beatles. And I know I'll do anything, you know, whatever Paul, John, Ringo would like to do, you know, I'll do it.
For me, I want to get out of the contract. I think the group's finished, we've split, and everything that we ever earned or that we were ever in should now be split, I think. They don't agree. They think it should still continue exactly as planned. But if the three of them wanted to, they could sit down today, write a little bit of paper, and I would be released. And that is all I want, by the way.
You know, there's that famous old saying, you always hurt the one you love. And we all love each other and we all know that, but we still sort of hurt each other occasionally, you know, where we just misunderstand each other and we go off, you know, and it builds up to something bigger than it ever was, and then we have to come down to it and get it over with, you know, and sort it out. And so we're still really very close people.
Do you see the Beatles going on?
like they are at the moment for a long time in the future, or do you see a split very soon?
It depends what you mean as a split. I mean, we split...
Go your separate ways and not...
Completely, no, together. We'll never go... Oh, I can't say never, but I mean, we won't go our separate ways after this album. And we'll always be tied up with each other in some way. You know, because we've signed a lot of papers. It says we've stayed together for 20 years or something.
The Let It Be album was released in Britain on May the 8th, 1970. The Long and Winding Road came out as a single in America on May the 11th and sold 1,200,000 copies in 2 days. The movie had its premiere in New York on May 13th and the album sold 3,700,000 copies in just 2 weeks. It was the number one album on June 13th, whilst Long and Winding Road was the number one single. George Harrison worked through the summer on his solo album and it came out in November, and that's coming next. At the end of November 1970, George Harrison's first true solo album was released. It was called All Things Must Pass. It was a triple album and it was produced by Phil Spector.
The problem happened really in when I was laying down Basic Tracks, I just had all these songs that I wanted to do, and so we just kept recording Basic Tracks until suddenly I thought, better count them, and there were 17 tracks. You see, the good thing with Phil for me was that I've always loved everything, you know, all those Phil Spector records, I always liked that. In fact, some of the things I was producing before my own album, I was sort of trying to figure out how he did all that. So it was good, because first of all, you definitely need, an artist definitely needs somebody in the control booth, because you can spend hours routining a song with musicians and come into the control box and find that it's a terrible sound. So you really need somebody, and ideally you need somebody who's sympathetic to what you, you know. So Phil was great for that. Phil worked on all the sessions for the Basic Tracks. I did all the overdubs without him, and then he came back and mixed it with me.
My sweet Lord, my Lord, my Lord, I really want to see you, really want to be with you, really want to see you, Lord, but it takes so long, my Lord, my.
My Sweet Lord, George Harrison, a number one single in America just after Christmas, 1970.
The action seeks to break up arrangements linking McCartney with John Lennon, George Harrison, Ringo Starr, and the Beatles firm Apple Limited. It all started in 1962 with the release of Love Me Do and went on through an unprecedented series of 22 smash single records, 12 equally successful albums, and 13 extended play records. And so, goodbye 1970, and goodbye Beatles. We'll miss you both. Art McAloon in London.
And so the lawyers got on the case and they said, uh-oh, we can't sue Alan Klein. I said, why not? And so on and so on. They said, he's not a party to any of the agreements. He said, you'll have to sue the Beatles. I said, well, I can't do that. I can't, there's no way I can do that. So about 2 months later, it came down after, you know, I was on the hill up in Scotland in the mist, kind of thinking, oh, God, you know, I've got to do something, but I can't do what I've got to do. So it was really, you know, it took really about 2 months to decide that if I had to do it, I just had to, it didn't matter, they were parties to Klein, whatever, I had to actually just go and sue them. In the end, they then turned around and said, thanks for getting us out of the Klein thing, but obviously you can imagine what I had to go through, suing my best mates, and being seen to sue my best mates, that was the worst. And knowing no one would understand it. No one would understand why I had to do it like this, no matter if I put out 50 million press releases.
Paul McCartney made a rare public appearance in a London court to demand the dissolution of the Beatles partnership, which made the four workers' sons from Liverpool into millionaires, members of the British Empire, and gurus or even demigods to millions of people. McCartney, with his American wife, Linda, sat in the front row of the courtroom as his lawyer asked that the partnership be ended. As British legal tradition demands, both judge and barristers wore black robes and powdered white wigs and spoke the rigid, stilted language of the courts, a language as old as English common law itself. And it was very difficult to realize that they were deciding the fate of one of the most colorful enterprises of recent times. This is John Donnelly in London.
I'm shouting all about love. Well, they cheated you like a dog, and you were the one who had made it so clear. All those years ago, talking all about how to give, they don't act with much honesty.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, A History of the Beatle Years, researched by Mark Lewison. Thanks to John Barrett and all at EMI's Abbey Road Studios. I'm Roger Scott in London.
Thank you.
Well, this is Ringo. Everyone seems to have said everything here, so I'll just sign off by saying cheerio and best of luck from the Beatles.